Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I'm so looking forward to today's conversation with my friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. We'll talk about health and the healing process, and we welcome your questions, but we are going to kick off the conversation today talking about supplements. Are there some supplements that do more harm than good? What are some of the cleaner, more trustworthy brands? What are the contraindications regarding medicines and supplements? And if you had to pick your top five supplements, what would they be? Those are some of the questions I'll ask Jill. But here's a question for you, friend. What is your favorite supplement and why? Tell me what you're taking and what you love. And I'll try to weave in your questions as they come in as well. A quick announcement. You've been hearing about it, but we're going to start here in a few weeks. Our online book study, it's free. We'll be going through my book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. You don't need the book to do the study. And you can sign up for free on our website, myfaithradio.com. Right in the homepage, you can sign up there. We've got a few more weeks before registration closes. So I would love for you to join us. You'll get a weekly email. I really appreciate that so much because it'll be fun to do this journey with you. We purposely put that study in the fall season because that's when a spiritual attack and opposition and oppression seems to just you notice it more, don't you? And we want so much to walk through our battles strong and steadfast and assured of God's love and His presence in our lives. So hoping you can join us. We've got a couple of thousand people already signed up, but it won't be the same without you. All right, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Dr. Jill Carnahan is board certified in both family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She owns her own practice, Flatiron Functional Medicine, in Louisville, Colorado. She just finished shooting, I'm adding this to her bio, but a documentary of her life story, which is amazing. And she's finishing up on a book that's going to be releasing this next year. So she's been a busy gal, and we're so blessed to have her with us today. Dr. Jill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. Always a joy to be here with you.
Looking forward to our conversation. And you know this, you've been on plenty of times. What has the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
Oh, well, I loved hearing you talk about the study coming up this fall. And, you know, just I know everybody's struggling with different things. Life happens. And today I first read in Daniel about Daniel in the lion's den. And that's kind of this childhood story that we always, you know, hear when we're in Sunday school, but so relevant, just how God protected Daniel from the mouths of lions. And then I just happened to open to Isaiah 43, and he followed it up with, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." And just so in awe of our God who walks every step with us, no matter what you or I are facing, He is so present, isn't He, Susie?
It so is. And it's such a reminder, too, that we deal with the fire and the storm and the floods. I mean, we get water up our nose, you know, you get close enough to singe your eyebrows, but somehow, some way He gets you through. I just think that's so powerful. And I forgot to give this caveat, especially since we're talking supplements, that Dr. Jill's not here to diagnose you over the airwaves. And it's super important. We're going to cover as much as we can, but don't just start taking supplements without checking with your doctor, with your prescription. So super important. But, let's talk about this idea that not all supplements are the same, and sometimes they can do more harm than good. Maybe just speak to that first.
I love that you bring this up, Susie, because I'm a huge fan. I take a handful of supplements twice a day. In fact, sometimes when patients are complaining about what their list is or what they're on, you know, I actually show them and their eyes get big because I probably take 40 different things twice a day. So I'm a huge fan, but I love that word of caution because sometimes things are, in fact, just yesterday I was talking about a pathway called methylation. Complex pathway, some of your listeners, I'm sure, are savvy enough to have heard of it, but some patients need more B vitamins, some need less, and they can do problematic things if you don't know which way you are. So it is important to check in, to do the testing, but brands and where to get and kind of sources, it is important. There's such a difference in quality out there. Well, there's kind of two different types of supplements. There's kind of a pharmaceutical grade, which is typically like what you get at a sometimes at a health food store, definitely at your physician's office or a pharmacist, or sometimes even chiropractors or other healthcare practitioners supply those. And then there's kind of a supplement grade, and sometimes you'll find these online or just even at some of the supermarkets or things, and I won't name any names, but it's real mm-hmm. common to get lesser quality. One thing you can do is look at the label. And if it's like just the, say, magnesium, for example, and that's it, it's probably going to be a pretty good clean source. But often the lesser brands will add dyes or colorings or things that actually interfere with absorption or could even do you harm. The other thing is you want to make sure it's third-party tested for purity every batch, because some of these have been found to contain lead and other contaminants like heavy metals and toxins. And the last thing you'd want to be doing is taking a vitamin every day that has toxins in it.
Wow. You know, Dr. Troy has said before that as important as omega is for so many things, for inflammation things, he said if you're taking sort of a bottom shelf brand, you likely will be doing more harm than good because you will have mercury, lead, or different things from bottom feeding fish. Maybe say a word about that. A good omega, what it does for you, and a bad omega, how you know.
Sure. So often in our what we call the SAD diet, the standard American diet, we've kind of named it that for short, which is, you know, French fries and fast food and kind of things that are on the go convenience wise. What we find with food and what we eat is often we pay for convenience, and convenience, we have lesser quality. So it's hard to, you know, take a half day and chop the vegetables from your garden. But those are the kinds of things that actually contribute to the higher quality because either you're growing them or getting them from the farmer's market or organically grown. And it takes a lot more time to do that. And I'm framing that with fish oil because a lot of times if we're eating really good, clean diet and not a lot of processed foods with trans fats and saturated fats, we are getting good omegas and good types of oils in our diet. But oils in our diet are one of the most important things for the foundation of our health, and people don't realize this. So fish oil is one way to put in a good oil. It's from omega-3. So we have omega-3, which is typically from fish and flax. We have omega-6, which is often from seeds and nuts. And then we have omega-9, which is from olive oil and those things. We need all of those, but we much more often get seeds and nuts and those kinds of oils in our diet, and we don't as much get the fish. And the balance, so the ratios of omega-3s to omega-6s, really determine inflammation in our body. So we can actually change the status on inflammation when we give ourselves more oils from fish. And certainly we can eat fresh fish every day, but a lot of people aren't living in an area where that's easy. So taking a quality
or
fish
some
oil,
of us, some of us gag at the scent of fish. I wish that wasn't true about me, but I mean, I need fish, but I cannot bear it. So, but I notice a difference taking a good omega. And there are times when you've had me double up for a short time when I'm in a season of inflammation. I've noticed a difference when that happens.
Yeah, it really, Susie, it does. And you can test, you can ask your doctor. These tests are available from even regular conventional labs, like they're called omega-3 panels or fatty acid panels, to see your ratios of the different omega-3, 6, 9, and even trans fats and things in your blood. And it's almost like the oil change in your car. If you have the wrong oil, your engine runs pretty poorly.
Interesting. Great analogy. This listener says, I take a little calcium, magnesium, zinc, potassium, K2, but the muscle tightness in my calves never goes away. My goodness, I remember Dr. Troy talking about, I don't know if it was adrenals or what it was, but I'm sure you can speak to it.
Yeah, so it's interesting because post-COVID, one of the things we found in a decent percentage of people is low cortisol. See, the adrenals have really taken a hit more than I've seen other types of infections. So that could be totally irrelevant to this listener, but I'm saying that because I'm sure a lot of people post-COVID are a little bit more tired, and it's possible that your adrenals aren't functioning at 100%. And adrenals will control our mineral status. So when we drink water and stay hydrated, they are one of the things that allow us to keep mineral levels like salt and potassium and magnesium and calcium normal, so that we keep good volume in our vascular system and are able to stand upright with normal blood pressure. If the adrenals are not working well, sometimes we'll tend to have low blood pressure and we'll lose some of those minerals more easily through the urine. So taking a mineral supplement can be incredibly helpful. If you're still having cramps with that, the first two would be potassium, magnesium. Calcium is more important for like eye twitching or those small muscle twitches, but often you don't need as much calcium as you do magnesium and potassium if you're having the muscle cramps.
So if he's already taking magnesium and potassium, does that mean maybe he needs to check his brand or up the dose?
Great question, Susie, because that's exactly what I was thinking. It's amazing how much, especially magnesium, our soils are so deficient. Even our good organic produce is grown in mineral deficient soil. So the apple of today is probably a fifth of the magnesium as it was 100 years ago.
Wow.
So I would say number one dose. I mean, some people need upwards of 1,000 or more. And again, check with your doctor, because if you have things like kidney issues, you absolutely don't want to increase that dose. But if you don't have any other issues or contraindications, you may need a lot more potassium or magnesium than you think.
Okay, thank you. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll answer another question on, I'm just going to give it a setup here. Any input on how insulin resistance is wreaking havoc in our health and the impact keto diet would have? What's your take on increasing ketones in our bodies? So we'll cover that one. I see a bunch more questions coming in. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We're weaving in talk about supplements. We'll talk a little bit. We're so careful not to endorse brands, but just for the sake of this conversation, we are going to just name a few brands that are really pretty consistently clean. That you can trust, but we want you to do your homework as well. We welcome questions, and we'll be back in a minute with Dr. Jill Carnahan. So do you listen to Suzy Larson Live often? I sure hope you do, and if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday. One of the best things you can supplement your life with is the Word of God, whether you hear it in song or you're reading it or hear it audibly, but feed your soul on the faithfulness of God. It'll change everything for you. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. My very precious friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan, joins us once a month. She's an MD and a functional med doctor and really so brilliant and such a woman of God. And we're talking today, I mean, we'll veer off this path in a little while, just tackle as many questions as we can, but we want to get our arms around supplements. And so just the good ones, the bad ones, when is it too much? And is it a one size fits all, which it's not, but we'll unpack that. But I promised this dear listener we would get to this question toward the beginning of the show. She says, any input on how insulin resistance is wreaking havoc on our health, the impact of keto diet, your take on increasing ketones in our body? What say you?
I love this topic because this is an epidemic. And insulin resistance, for anyone who doesn't know, is kind of like a pre-diabetic situation, where your body becomes kind of resistant to the message that insulin gives you to basically store energy in your tissues. And when you become insulin resistant, you're kind of on this pathway towards diabetes. And more than diabetes, it really increases risk of heart disease and obesity and so much of the illness that we see around us today. So the listener was asking about keto diet. So I am a fan of ketogenic diet, but I am there's some caveats, and I'll talk briefly about that. A ketogenic diet is when you start to shift your calories from macronutrients towards about 60 to even 80% fat. So you're getting a lot more calories from fat and less from carbs, and especially you decrease the carbohydrate load, because one of the main signals for insulin in our body is the carbohydrates that we eat. And most of us tend to eat more refined carbs than necessary, and that would be like cookies, crackers, donuts, ice cream, all the things that are processed, or just anything that's refined grains. And that's real, real common in our diet, and that will drive insulin levels up. Now, what's funny is many people don't know that chemicals, toxins like Roundup and glyphosate and other chemicals in our food supply, and even PCBs and BPA, which is in like cans and on cash register receipts, all of those things can also increase insulin resistance. So I've been seeing, sadly, more people who are normal weight, exercising, athletic, young people are in their 20s, 30s who are starting to become insulin resistant just because of toxic load.
I'm sorry, I just have to, so you're saying that there's toxins on receipts and that can infiltrate your system in a way that you're insulin resistant and can suddenly gain weight and can't get ahead physically?
Crazy, isn't it, Suzy?
Wow.
Yes, I'm saying that. So BPA, which is in the plastics that a lot of people drink from nowadays, we have a lot of BPA-free products, but it's absolutely on most cash register receipts. So it's funny, one of my little tricks is instead of taking the receipt, I'll take a picture of it and I won't even touch it. And, and I'll do it that way because it really, the more, and so sadly, those people who are handling the receipts at the cash register all day long, they're getting it. They've shown in the blood levels that BPA is actually elevated.
Oh, my word. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Wow, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Okay, there's so many questions coming in. We are really touching on something here. This dear one says, I'm not sure this is a supplement, but I'm a big fan of Bragg's apple cider vinegar and stevia. I drink it every day. Helps with arthritis. What do you say to that?
Yeah, so apple cider vinegar can increase hydrochloric acid in the digestive tract and help you break down proteins a little more easily. So some people will drink it before meals. It can also have an antifungal effect. So some people find that when they have a little apple cider vinegar, they deal with if you have an overgrowth of candida or yeast in your system, that can be helpful. And it also can alkalinize the body. And anytime you alkalinize the body, you tend to decrease inflammation. And you can also increase your enzyme working for detox.
Alrighty. And some people notice when they are taking it, if they feel a cold coming on, they just notice a boost in their immune system. But although it can trigger a little histamine if you have histamine issues. Is that right?
Yes. And I'm so glad you said that because there are a lot of supplements that can be an issue for certain people that have histamine intolerance. And I know, Susie, you and I both have experience with that. And apple cider vinegar, anything fermented, even yogurts or aged meats and cheeses, all those kinds of things for people who are histamine intolerant can often be sources of histamine and trigger a response in their bodies.
Oh, interesting. Okay. This one says, I have the MTHFR gene and have low B12 levels as well as other B levels. I don't do well with B supplements. Do you have a suggestion for what I can do to get the B I need? And this is one of the things I wanted to address today. I'm going to kind of set this up so you can address her question or his question, whoever's it said. But the bigger picture, we talked before about the fat soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. So some people maybe overdose on those and it can be dangerous because they build up. Your body stores them up to a toxic level, so you really got to know what levels you're taking. B and C are water soluble, so your body will release what it doesn't use. And yet, there are some of us that, like, if I take a certain kind of B and level of B, I'll be up all night. I have found a B that really works for me, but I want you to explain that dynamic because some people would be like, I'm my best self on Bs, and it's so frustrating when you feel good on it, but you don't sleep then at night. So speak to this person who has the MTHFR gene and low B12 levels.
You got it. And I love that you mentioned that because that's exactly right. With the fat-soluble vitamins can be more toxic because they accumulate. So, and even with the pandemic, we saw people taking really high doses of D and some people did get a little toxic on that. So B vitamins and tolerance. So there's different forms of Bs and methylated Bs are one form. So you might see methylfolate, methyl B12, methylcobalamin is another name for methyl B12. And the methyl group that's attached to the B12 or the folate for some people can be very stimulating. And when you mention MTHFR gene, which I mentioned earlier, it's a process called methylation. Methylation is a process involved in repairing DNA, helping our immune system and making neurotransmitters and detoxification. So it's a really important process. And there's a lot of people, I'd say probably 50 to 75% of us that have some sort of mutation in that gene, which means that we maybe don't convert as well to the types of Bs that we need to be precursors to that methylation process. So in this listener's question, it sounds like she has a little defect and wants to take Bs and maybe needs them, but has an intolerance. If that's the case, you can look for other forms of Bs like hydroxy B12 or adenosyl B12 that are not methylated. And then there's things like folinic acid that is not methylated. And often those patients will do better on a non-methylated form of B, and then they can still get the Bs that they need.
Is the methyl issue something that can be cured, like, you know, other things where you can process them eventually, or is it just sort of a condition you have to live with?
Great question, Susie. So I look at sometimes these genetic pathways that look like electrical circuit maps. You know, they're so complex, and I love to do that. But what I found is the reason I'm looking at those pathways is because often if someone has a toxic load, a mold exposure, a hidden infection like maybe Epstein-Barr or Lyme disease, when you give those methyl donors, it ramps up the detox and ramps up all the processes in the body. But if there's an underlying infection or toxic issue, you can ramp up things too quickly and your body can't handle that load. It's almost like if you mobilize toxins but you can't excrete them, you get behind the eight ball. And that can happen with methylation where you need to methylate. It's a good thing. But if you go too quickly, your body can't handle it.
Wow. This one is amazing from one of our listeners. She said, I wonder what Dr. Jill's thoughts are on vitamin D and cancer. She said she was 16, was prescribed 50,000 IU a month. She decided to go to 10,000 per day for the last year and a half, and now up to 40 And she said on Friday, her oncologist said she was at stage 4 lung cancer. So this, I'm reading this, and I mean, I've met her. We've prayed for her. So this is brand new news to me. So as a child, she was, or when she was 16, prescribed 50,000 a month. Then she decided in this last year and a half to go to 10,000 per day and now up to 40. And she said on Friday, her oncologist said he saw no cancer. She was stage 4 lung cancer. But she said she's read some studies on cancer and vitamin D. I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
Wow. My jaw just dropped at that amazing news, and praise God for that. Amazing. I might have mentioned this before, but there's a Harvard doc who's writing about spontaneous healing and even the faith in that. It's called Cured. So if anyone wants to read more about it, sometimes, you know, and what I love is they're starting to bring science. We know as faith, you know, people of faith, we know that God can heal, and we've all seen that in our lives. But it's so neat to have, you know, some people in the other realms that are actually legitimizing and saying, yeah, we see this happening, and it's true, the stuff we've already known. Back to the D. Okay, so D3 is really powerful for immune system, and immune system fights infections and cancer. So in my mind, that absolutely makes sense that it could be a factor. But like we said before, and especially since we're on the air, and I don't know each one of you listening, just to tell everyone that it's safe to take 10,000 or more vitamin D per day, I can't say that because some people would get actually really toxic with that level. But in this certain case, under the doctor's supervision, I can see that there could have been a connection because vitamin D is absolutely essential to the immune system. And what I suspect is maybe that listener had what we call a VDR, it's vitamin D receptor mutation, where she needed levels to overcome that deficiency in the receptor. So she might have had a very unique situation where that overcoming the receptor's inability to process the D made a huge difference in her cancer.
Do you say, you know, think people who especially live in the upper Midwest are typically D deficient, especially like in the winter months?
Yeah, you know, we've seen studies with multiple sclerosis and vitamin D levels correlating low levels with diagnosis, so autoimmunity. We've seen definitely low levels with COVID for sure, and the severity of outcome absolutely associated, and with cancer. So there's no question that vitamin D and healthy levels is associated with decreased risk of some of these things. The only difficulty is not everybody could tolerate that high of dose, and some people need that high of dose, so it really has to be individualized. And yes, the less you get sunshine, the more you need to supplement vitamin D.
And some of the side effects of that, I mean, there are times when people go low energy, they even feel mildly depressed, and they have low immune system, and they don't know what's wrong with them. I've heard so many people say, and then I got on vitamin D and felt like a brand new person. Are there any other side effects to being D deficient, especially in the winter?
Yeah, immunity and fighting off infections are huge, but also bone health. So things that we don't always think about right off the top of our head is absolutely essential for normal bone and calcium metabolism and parathyroid. So it's actually a hormone, not a vitamin, even though we've put it in that category. So it has a lot of effects on the body and healing tissues, creating bone and immune system as well.
So would you say a safe dose, like especially for those who live in the upper Midwest where you go through winters, 5,000, I mean, I know ideally you need a blood panel to see what your levels are, but is it a typical dose, a couple thousand in the summer if you're getting in the sun, and 5,000 a day if you're not, or is there a better recommendation that you have?
No, I think 5,000 for most people is quite safe per day. I wouldn't go above 5,000 without talking to your doctor and checking. And there are a small percentage of people that 5,000 might be too much, but generally that sounds like a very reasonable dose for most people who are not getting sunshine in the winter months.
Okay. I see more questions coming in, but when we come back, the first question I'll ask Dr. Jill is if she could pick her top 5 supplements. Now, this is just for her. Or maybe I'll ask it twofold, for your top 5, but also the top 5 if you could only pick 5 for patients. What might they be? And then we'll try to tackle more questions, more with Dr. Jill in just a moment. And this is Suzy Larson Live talking to my very precious friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. She is really a worldwide expert on mold and autoimmune and Lyme disease and things like that. She's an MD and a functional med doc, and she's a very good friend. And she's such a busy woman that she would give us an hour every month. It's such a blessing. Today we're talking a lot about supplements, and I see a number of questions coming in. We're going to do our best to get those answered. But okay, so it's a twofold question, Jill. First is, what are your top five supplements? If you had to get, I know you take a number of things, but if you had to only pick your top five, what would they be? And then what would be your top five maybe for just in general for the many patients that you see?
Okay, so such a great question. It's hard to limit it to five, but I'll do my best. For me personally, I think fish oil is a huge one. We talked about that before, vitamin D. So two of those are in the mix of stuff we talked about. B complex, I think, is important for me and for many people for energy. I think a mineral support that's a generalized mineral. And then, gosh, the last one might be some form of detox support. And I'm going to give you a couple because this could go bleed right into the average patient taking. Maybe glutathione is wonderful, but a lot of people don't tolerate that. So other alternatives to that would be N-acetylcysteine or lipoic acid or just milk thistle, something in the realm of helping your body to detox. And in general, I think, you know, it's interesting. We didn't even talk about this, but I think multivitamins are a little overrated because they give this one size fits all, and they're usually a fairly low dose of everything. And I am a much bigger fan of giving patients kind of what they need specifically. And nowadays, your doctor can really even test you through urine or blood and see what you need and then kind of give it very specifically. And like you and I, Susie, we've said there's certain things that maybe we react to, and a multi doesn't work well for the sensitive patients. So I'm not a huge fan of that. But for the average patient, I would still say the fish oil, the vitamin D, the mineral support. Things like collagen are really important for bone health and for skin and all of that, and some sort of detox support, like I mentioned, glutathione, N-acetylcysteine, mm-hmm. milk thistle in that realm.
It's very good, you know, and some people tend to bend towards dehydration, and that I was one of those people as well. And I will tell you again, normally on most shows, we're not going to like endorse brands, but just to be helpful, I will tell you one an electrolyte drink that I discovered that I think, in my opinion, I really obviously defer to you, but I think it's one of the best out there is LMNT, the letters LMNT, LMNT, and it's a salty electrolyte drink. And for someone like me, I can't even tell you what a difference, even just in energy, because I was always bending towards dehydration. And I, you know, found that out through some labs. They're like, you need some core minerals to beef you up. And there's a core mineral. I think that's the name of it. USANA brand maybe, but I did better with LMNT. I just put it in water. I drink it and it does taste pretty salty, but it's very low sugar. And if I'm going out on a long bike ride, I may take a second one that day, but I mean, maybe speak to that, just your experience with any core mineral supplements that you like.
Yeah, and actually, Susie, I love that one, too. I think it's a great – it's become more and more popular lately. And the reason I think it's so unique out there – and we on our store shelf have all kinds of different brands. And I can just quickly name, like, Thorne Research is a good quality brand out there that you can get that's a pharmaceutical grade. Pure Encapsulations, even though I think they were bought out by another company, they're still really good quality. Zymogen with a XY. Zymogen is another good quality. Orthomolecular Products is a great brand. And I have no association with any of these, but like you said, it is helpful for people to know the pharmaceutical grade and the kinds. Quicksilver is kind of unique in that they have a lot of liposomal formulas. And so if someone has a lot of sensitivity to pills or caps or they can't swallow, they can get a lot of vitamins through that company that are, and Designs for Health is another one. Those are probably the top five that a sell to pharmacist physicians and kind of that grade and quality. And there's many, many other great, great quality brands, but those are some of the big ones. LMNT, I love, and I wanted to just explain real briefly why that is. It is about 1,000 of sodium compared to a lot of the other ones on the market, 100 or 200 of sodium. And as you mentioned, and as we mentioned before, those people with adrenal issues that not functioning 100% and they are prone to dehydration, that salt can really, really help. Poor man's solution, you can take a teaspoon of Celtic sea salt, put it in your water, and just give it a try. And if you feel like you really perk up and feel better with that, that's a great solution for you.
And yet that salt is dangerous for others, so it's not for
Correct.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, if you have high blood pressure now, you wouldn't want to try that, and you may need more potassium. I actually use potassium to help people get lower blood pressure if that's one of their issues. And it's potassium and sodium, you can think of like a seesaw. You need both, but you can use one or the other in order to raise or lower blood pressure.
Okay. And this dear listener says, how would LJ 900 be better? Would LJ900 be better than fish oil, since LJ is plant-based? What do you say?
Great question. So not necessarily. LG, for those people who either are vegan and don't eat fish or maybe sensitive or allergic to fish, that is a source. But LG, red blooms in some of the southern states and things are from algae, and it actually creates a biotoxin like mold. So there are some people who are incredibly sensitive to algae or mineral algae in a supplement. So it is absolutely not for everyone. And I wouldn't say it's a unique product for those who can't tolerate fish. But for the general patient, the fish oil is probably still a better option.
Can you think of contraindications of medicine with supplements? Because, again, you can have really drastic reactions to what you think. It's a harmless supplement and it's a healthy addition to your lineup. But if you're on certain meds, they can be a dangerous combination. Anything come to mind?
Yeah, the biggest one I think we think about, because if someone's going into surgery and they're on something that thins their blood, that's always one that I'm aware of, and I talk to surgeons if someone's going in. Fish oil, the funny thing is, in the studies over and over again, there is not evidence of fish oil causing coagulation issues or blood thinning. However, we still do recommend people go off it before surgery because it tends to make the blood flow, we call it viscosity, better. So I still think it's worth stopping right before surgery. But the other two that do cause blood thinning effects are garlic and ginkgo. And ginkgo is commonly used for brain and focus and migraines and blood flow to the brain. And then garlic is a great anti-inflammatory. It's also, someone has more viscous blood or thick blood, it can be good for that. But those especially, if someone's on a blood pressure medicine, again, the minerals can be a big deal because some of those are potassium sparing, meaning they hang on to the potassium. And if someone takes a high dose potassium and their potassium level gets too high, that could actually stop the heart. So too much potassium in someone who's on a certain medication, like a hydrochlorothiazide or blood pressure medicine, would be contraindicated. Generally, fish oil is not too much of a deal for most people. Generally, B vitamins and minerals are not too much of a contraindication. Those are some of the big ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
All right. This listener says, what would you recommend for significant calcium loss in the bones? Doctor recommended taking high blood pressure medication to try and help the bones retain calcium. Are there any alternatives?
Yes, absolutely. Vitamin K and K2 especially is really good for bone mineralization. And it's also good for atherosclerosis. So if someone has a coronary calcium score, that's usually done through a CT scan where they check if the thickness of the arteries is increased due to calcifications. Vitamin K can be something that really helps improve that as well.
Hmm. This listener says, is there anything that can cause thickening of the wall of the bladder besides cancer? She said she's been having to go to the bathroom very often. That's her only symptom. Went to the doctor and they did an ultrasound, which showed thickening of the bladder wall. She said she immediately jumped to the assumption of cancer because she had uterine cancer 7 years ago. We're going to pray for you. But she said, I'll be seeing a urologist, but it's taking forever and the waiting is really hard.
Yeah, so any sort of chronic inflammatory condition could cause thickening of the lining. So that's the first thing my mind goes to. And there's something called interstitial cystitis that you may or may not have had symptoms from. If that was the case, that's an inflammatory condition that could cause thickening of the lining of the bladder that's not cancerous. Often that comes from one of our favorite topics, which is mast cell and histamine issues. And so, again, see your doctor, figure out what's going on. But if there does turn out to be a component of histamine or mast cells or interstitial cystitis, sometimes things that are antihistamine, low histamine diet, or quercetin or nettles, those are products that are natural antihistamines and good help.
And I will say this, I hope I don't get in trouble, but I just got it. You know, HistaSist is in your store, on your online store, and my producer has said it's just been a game changer for her. Just as someone who deals with allergies, talk about why something like that, some kind of histamine help, could be a game changer for those who have high histamine levels.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of the first lines. In fact, again, in COVID times, we realized a lot of the problems downstream, either post-COVID or in the midst of it, were because it would kick up histamine in a lot of people. So a lot of people would try antihistamines like Pepcid or Zantac or over-the-counters, or like you mentioned, HistaSist or something with the ingredients of quercetin or nettles in it. Those are, quercetin is one of my very favorite natural antihistamines. and that's in that product, but also you can find that alone by itself. And that turns out to be something like a natural Benadryl or a natural antihistamine. So really, really powerful. And what we're finding is these things, infections and viruses and pollution, is all kicking up our histamine responses. So more and more people are suffering with histamine issues.
Wow. And somebody said, how do you know if something is third-party tested?
The company will actually, if they're good, they will put that either on their website, or they will actually reveal it. You can call the company and ask, but that is actually very standard for them to put that information out to the public, that it's third-party tested, and they will absolutely reveal that information if you ask.
My son, you know, I told him that you and Dr. Troy both like Thorn. And so he went on their site and was really amazed. There's all these labs that they do now just online where they have you take these tests on sleep or fatty liver disease or whatever. And they, you know, he's just been, it's been very interesting, he said, just to kind of become more aware of just specific issues that he can go after. And there is help out there. And I'm also noticing more online labs that you can get these days. What do you make of those?
Yeah, so many things are now becoming direct to consumer, which I think is wonderful. The only caveat is if you get some information you don't know what to do with it, people
right.
You know, have a resource to ask questions. But I'm a huge fan, and I think even now it's legally part of, like, I know with our practice, if a patient gets labs, we would always give it to them anyway, but there's no withholding of information. It's absolutely important that the patient get their hands on that labs and those information so that they can have control of their own health. And I think what's happening is more and more companies are doing that direct to consumer, just so the consumer can be empowered and have more information.
Interesting. Okay, one more question before we go to this next break. What's the most natural way to reduce high blood pressure? That's a listener question.
So this is a tricky one, because a lot of things like B vitamin deficiency or bone health, there's often a supplement, or allergies. We just got done talking about antihistamines and quercetin. There's often, we call it green medicine, where there's a natural supplement that will take care of that. With blood pressure, that is not the case. There are a few things that can help, but I would say 90% of the time, the blood pressure is much more lifestyle related or toxicity related. So there's rarely one supplement that will control blood pressure. It's usually stress control, sleep, obstructive sleep apnea, heavy metal toxicity. There's often something else that needs to be dealt with. And usually just giving potassium or just giving taurine or just giving B6, those are all things that can be helpful with blood pressure, will not reverse it on its own. So unfortunately, blood pressure tends to be, there's a stress component, there's a histamine component, there's a sleep component, there's a bunch of other components that are probably more effective than a pill.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about sleep. Are there favorite supplements for sleep? And again, sleep issues are so vast. So many people have so many different reasons for why they don't sleep. So we'll tackle that as well. We welcome your questions for this last segment. Great conversation with Dr. Jill. You can text to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I sometimes let the songs go too long. I like music. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan today. We're talking about supplements. We're talking about health and the healing process. And boy, I always say this, every step towards health and healing matters. Okay. This question says, what do you recommend for people who have psoriasis? And then I think vertigo is also, it says vitiligo, but I think it's vertigo. What do you say?
Okay. And I wonder, Susie, as you're saying that, vitiligo, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Vitiligo. I didn't know that was a thing. Okay. Got it.
Because that would kind of go with psoriasis. But we'll talk about vertigo, too.
Yeah.
So Psoriasis. Okay, so psoriasis is kind of this immune reaction on the skin that can create patches and very painful inflammatory, often the scalp, you have peeling. And often people who have that can also have vitiligo, which is why it's thought that might be related. So those two things are these immune overreactions, and there's often a trigger. I would start with the gut, and I need a 30-minute lecture for this one, but I'll make it really brief. I have very frequently see fungal overgrowth like candida, or bacterial overgrowth in the gut. So if you have vitiligo and psoriasis, I would start with your gut. You might want to get a stool test or an organic acid test in the urine from a functional doctor. But if you don't really know where to start or can't get the testing done, you could do some antifungal types of foods or supplements. That would be things like garlic or oregano or caprylic acid or grape seed extract. The GSE is another name for that. Those things are all antimicrobial and fairly gentle, and those would help with that inflammation. You'd also want a great probiotic, and I'm a huge fan of Spore probiotics. Those are typical. There's a bunch of different brands out there, but Spore probiotics tend to be good for really tough guts. And Saccharomyces boulardii is a generic name for a yeast that can crowd out the bad yeast. So those are all some places you could start. Other things you might want to consider are anti-inflammatory immune types of supports, and those could include turmeric, resveratrol, Chinese skullcap. Those are all things that downregulate the immune system when it's overactive.
So what is this vitiligo? Can you explain that?
Sure. Yeah, so that's an autoimmune disease that kind of affects the pigmentation of the skin. So these patients will get patches that their normal skin pigmentation is gone, and it looks very, very white. So they'll get, and they can sometimes on their faces have, or limbs or elbows have these large patches that are completely lacking pigment. So it's really, I have a couple young people, a young man who's 16, and another one who's, 28, and a girl. And they're very self-conscious because you look pretty, people really notice that if it's on your face or chest or your arms. So it's really, they usually are very self-conscious because, so I'm sorry, dear listener, I don't know how that's affecting you, but it can be really unsightly to have those really large white patches all over your body.
And if you treat the fungus in the gut and bring the inflammation down, can those spots go away? Or once you have them, do you always have them?
That's a great question. I've seen it very similar to alopecia totalis, which is when people have autoimmune hair loss. I have seen some reversal, so that's the good news. But I would say this is like a 20-30%, or it's not as common as some of the permanent. What I have seen is if we treat it, that it'll stop in its tracks and there'll be no more spots. Or in the case of the hair loss, no more hair loss, but it is harder to reverse what's already been damaged.
Oh, wow. Okay. This dear listener says, what's a healthy energy drink that you'd recommend?
Oh, that's a great question. This may surprise you, but I think organic mycotoxin-free coffee is what I'd recommend because that's the highest antioxidants of any sort of, I don't really recommend any of those health drinks that are out there that are processed with, artificial vitamins and added things. I think a San Pellegrino or Perrier or some of the mineral waters can be good because mineral water is going to have in it a lot more minerals for your system, and it's good usually from a pure source, especially the European brands. And good organic clean source coffee is actually the studies show over and over decreased risk of diabetes, decreased risk of liver issues, so many benefits of good, clean, organic coffee.
And that may surprise you because sometimes they wrap up these energy drinks in a healthy wrap, but they can actually be very dangerous.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly.
Tough on the heart. And so, let's talk about this for a second. The difference, I remember listening to a podcast where you were talking about one of your favorites. I think it was one of your favorites, but it was a supplement that you loved. And I think your guest was talking about anti-aging and you both talked about berberine. So I go out and get me the best berberine and I had just a horrible, like a heart reaction to it. And so this is my question. Of course, one size does not fit all. There's times where some supplements just aren't good for you, but there's other times you're not ready for the supplement where it's actually a good supplement. It's just that your body's not ready for it. So how do you know the difference? And maybe just speak to that.
Oh, this is a fantastic question. So berberine in particular, I'm going to talk about that and then we'll talk about the general. It doesn't fit everybody. It can be kind of more histamine prone. Same with turmeric. Turmeric, you're going to hear tons of people talk about turmeric and curcumin, super anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, and something like, for me, I can't tolerate turmeric or berberine because they're too high. They trigger histamine responses. So the way you would know is this, because say, for example, you have vitiligo or you have psoriasis and you're going to try some of the antifungal things I suggested, caprylic acid or undelicyic acid or oregano or garlic. If you have something like that and you're treating an infection or an overgrowth in the gut, you often feel a little bit worse as you're treating that infection or that overgrowth before you feel better. And the way you know is you start slowly, you start to feel a little bit worse, but then you get better. And always if you're getting better over time, that's a sign that it's more of a die-off or a reaction as you're going through the process. But if you start feeling poorly and you don't get better or you start to feel worse, I know this is very vague, but that's the general way and the trend to kind of know. And if you really have a bad histamine allergic headache reaction, no matter what, even if you're trying to treat a dysbiosis or a growth in your gut, you still are overloading your system with toxicity. So no matter what, when you feel poorly, you need to slow down.
Yeah, you always say to me, you can't go too slow. And I mean, glutathione's an example. Say a word, if you would, first about what glutathione does. We've talked about this before, but other doctors that I'd talk to that I can't tolerate, I'd get this funky look like, what's the matter with you? You were the first person really to go, well, not everybody can. So let's try these precursors, since we broke it down and you suggested a few other kind of precursor supplements. And I was able to work my way up. And so that was so encouraging to me. It's just that I couldn't do this, but I can do this. So first talk about like glutathione and what it does for us.
Yeah, so you may hear things. I mean, if you're out there online or anywhere, there's, you know, social media, you're hearing NAD is this amazing anti-aging molecule. You're hearing glutathione if you got mold and you need a detox. And so you guys are hearing this all over the place. And these are good, beautiful things. But here's what happens. When we detoxify from heavy metals or mold situation or even overgrowth in our gut from bacteria or yeast, we have to mobilize the toxins first out of our tissues. They sometimes go into the blood, and then we have to excrete them through our bladder or through our lungs by breathing or sweating or eliminating through the stool. And if we mobilize too quickly before we can properly eliminate or excrete the toxins, we get really, really sick. The other thing that can happen is if we have a lot of oxidative stress from toxins or from mold or from infection, so our bodies already have reactive oxygen and kind of they're in a stressful situation, and we give things like glutathione, which is an antioxidant, it can be oxidized, and it can be oxidized before we can recycle it appropriately and actually create more oxidative stress. Even things like vitamin C or oxygen, breathing oxygen, you would think, how in the world could that hurt us? Well, if you have a lot of oxidative stress, that can turn into reactive oxygen and cause more harm than good. So some of the most beautiful, best things that we could do or take, if we put them into an environment that's still very, very toxic or has reactive oxygen, it may do more harm than good. So I love, Susie, that you listen to your body. And I just encourage everyone out there, even if someone tells you, oh, this is fine, everybody can take it. If you don't feel well, listen to your body.
Boy, that's so important. You know, what about barometric pressure? I'm asking, you know, I'll just put myself out there. I woke up today, lots of inflammation, head pressure, numbing, all the buzzing, all the electrical, whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm retracing my steps. I didn't eat anything. I didn't go anywhere that I shouldn't go. And then my producer, Angie's like, but the barometric pressure, there's a storm coming in. And she said she felt different too. And that, I mean, I thought, wow, I wonder if that is it. What do you say?
Yeah, so I see people all the time. Of course, I live at about 5,000 feet above sea level in Boulder. And so it's interesting because we have a lot of patients around here where the altitude. So there are so many things in our environment, the pressures, the altitude. And the altitude, I say that because it has to do, the further you go up in the air, you know, there's less oxygen, there's less pressure compared to sea level. So all of these things, absolutely. And what they can do is if you have, again, your ability to detoxify or the pressure in your sinuses, or even if you have an infection, there's certain infections that are more aggravating or active up at altitude because people have less oxygen in the air that they breathe. So crazy as it sounds, all of these environments, or even heat and humidity, if you've had a lot of mold or fungal issues, you'll notice if it's really hot and humid, you will not feel as well as you will in a drier climate.
Wow. And I forgot, I promised I was going to ask you about sleep. We only have about a minute and a half left, but are there favorite supplements for people who struggle with sleep? This is given that you're not drinking caffeine all day long, but
yes,
you're truly, you've tried everything, your Epsom salt baths, you've lavender oil, you've tried it all, deep breathing, and you're still not sleeping. Any thoughts?
Yes, I'll just kind of give you a list and people. And the nice thing about all of these that I mentioned, you can try and combine them. There's nothing that's harmful. And many supplements will actually have all of these or many of these in one. So magnesium and especially magnesium glycinate is really core. And if that's one of those top five that I would recommend everybody be on some sort of magnesium and especially magnesium glycinate. GABA, you can take as a supplement, and that's a precursor that's really helpful for calming your nervous system. 5-HTP or any precursor of serotonin can be really helpful for sleep. Inositol can be helpful for sleep. Phosphatidylserine, it's also called PS, very helpful for lowering cortisol. There's magnolia bark, which is also called honacoil, is wonderful for lowering cortisol in a stressful situation. And again, a lot of these things will be combined together. So those would just be a smattering of things that might be helpful for sleep.
Jill, this has been so great, and so many texts have come in today. I pray, friends, you felt like you got some of your questions answered. And as Angie, my producer, prayed before the show, that God would redeem your time, Jill, for what you've given to us. I'm really believing he's going to do that for you. Thank you. Thank you for the time today.
You're welcome, Susie.
Love and appreciate you so much. And love and appreciate you. Keep on keeping on, friends, one step at a time. We love to be here and do this journey with you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.